John chapter 12, verse 1. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume, planned, premeditated, prepared, prayed about. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Father God, open the windows of heaven and make our hearts to melt in the fire of your flaming love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved friends, we go back to this precious incident at the home of Simon the leper. Now no more a leper, but healed, whole and a joyful follower of Jesus. And we discussed the extravagant act of worship, the extravagant heart of devotion, the reckless abandonment of Mary of all that she had to the Lord, and waste or worship and broken and spilled out. We discussed these headings. And today, right in the middle of this Holy Week, can we contemplate this sacred act of Mary a little more? It was broken and spilled out. Mary comes with a heart bursting with reverence, with gratitude, with love. She cannot reserve anything. Once that bottle is broken, nothing can be saved, spared, or stored up. In one moment of what some would call insanity, or some would call extravagant worship, she poured a very, very costly perfume worth millions, perhaps, of rupees in our language, 1 year's wages, and not only the money or the perfume, with it her whole heart. David wrote another worshipper in Psalm 86, "Give me an undivided heart, O Lord, that I might fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever." Fragmentation is the curse of our age. But when the heart is whole and undivided, that's what David prayed for, then the whole heart can be used to praise God and to serve God. And this was true of Mary of Bethany. Secondly, we see that this was done with a sense of reckless abandonment. Once that sacred ointment was poured out, that was the end. Total abandonment. Publicly, shamelessly, she did it. And what is very special is when you read Mark 14 and 15, I read the two chapters carefully to look at it. We find in both chapters Jesus being successively abandoned by one after another person until he is all alone on the cross. Judas, the three disciples at Gethsemane, all the disciples outside Gethsemane after the prayer, the young man who fled naked, probably Mark himself, the Sanhedrin, Peter who denied him, then the whole Sanhedrin the next morning, then Pilate, Herod, the soldiers, one thief. But the most striking thing of all, the Father himself cried. The Father cried with the Son. It was the sonlessness of the Father. Broke his heart but he had to forsake him in order that he could become a substitute for our sins. But imagine, at the beginning of this chapter, at the beginning of this entire series of events, Mary of Bethany comes to receive him, to comfort him, to pour her love on him. Can you imagine what comfort this brought to our Lord Jesus Christ? At least one person understood. Secondly, waste of worship. What actually did this achieve, dear friends? Humanly speaking, nothing. Poured out, gone, finished. Folly. Yet Jesus said, it is not a waste. This is worship. This is the right thing at last. To hearts who have never known the love of Jesus, this seems a terrible waste and brings on cynicism and anger. But hearts which know the flaming love of his presence understand. As I thought about it, I thought, do you know who was the one who was really guilty of waste? The one who blamed Mary of wasting? It was Judas himself, a disciple of Jesus, filled with an evil spirit. What a contrast. So much light, so much truth, so much potential, so much hope, so much there was for the future in him, an apostolic ministry. But he is an example of someone, perhaps one of the greatest examples, of throwing away a great opportunity. Beloved friends, may we warn and weep and wake up our souls and the souls of one another, not to side with Judas, but to side with Mary. How sad to squander our treasures, time, talent, and more than that, on fleeting, trivial things. As the hymn writer put it, we grovel among trifles, and our spirits fret and toss when above us looms the vision of the Christ upon the cross. And so we considered Mary's act, but now consider the heart behind the act, the engine, the furnace. The spring from which this act of worship originated was Mary's heart. Well, God's heart, and from God's heart to Mary's heart. But how did God prepare her heart? In Mary's life, there is one open secret mentioned three times in the Bible, which we all know very well. She came to the feet of Jesus. She sat at the feet of Jesus. Unhurried time. She loved the feet of Jesus. Ranji, my wife, taught me a song very soon after we were married when we were discussing this particular story. It's in Tamil. She sang it. A beautiful song. Oru Padam Ondre Vendum. In other words, the hymn writer wrote, Lord, I want a set of feet, your feet, to cling to. In Luke 10, she chose the one thing that was needed. With a passionate heart, she listened to the word of Jesus. In Luke 10, and Jesus said to Martha, 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 Mary has chosen what is good. It will not be taken from her. And that is why she understood the cross more than anybody else. Today, there are deceptions, lies, false gospels, false messiahs. We need to sit at his feet. In John 11, when Jesus delayed to come to the aid of her brother Lazarus, who was desperately ill, she and Martha were disappointed and discouraged that he delayed. And Jesus came after Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days. And Martha and Mary said the same words to Jesus. Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. But John records that Mary fell at Jesus' feet and said these words. This evoked a deep response from Jesus. He wept, maybe uncontrollably. He wept. But he also grunted with anger. And he prayed a prayer and raised Christ from the dead. So she came to the feet with her perplexity and her pain. And then in a deep response of gratitude and love to Jesus, both for raising her son from her brother from the dead, but also because she knew the purpose for which he came. He was going to die to save the whole world. He would be the Passover lamb. She knew it. And in response to that, she came to anoint his body for burial. The divine fragrance maker, the Lord of heaven and earth, mixed all these experiences in the fire of his love until, and in her heart, until her soul was melted like a mountain, the volcanic mountain. And her soul was melted and could pour out in warm, holy volcano. This is liquid love, hot tears, perfume, heart, all joined together. So rare, so rich, so revolutionary. Yet the perfume filled the room of Bethany, of Jerusalem, of the world for the last 2,000 years, of heaven, Jesus' own heart. It was something very special. The influence was far beyond what Mary could ever dream of. She gave all for Jesus. Since mine eyes were fixed on Jesus, I've lost sight of all beside. So enchained my spirit's vision. Look to Jesus, looking at the crucified. All for Jesus. All for Jesus. Looking at the crucified. Mary of Bethany, you are a model. You are a marvel. You are unnamed by Mark, but your identity is your act of worship, your love. You will be forever known as the woman who anointed Jesus for burial. And perhaps a suitable epitaph for you is, she loved Jesus. And through what she did, she showed us all how worthy Jesus is of all our hearts' adoration. Her intensity of her love and affection matched the intensity of his love. Friends, we'll speak about this tomorrow. But for now, may I close with the words of a glorious hymn. All fairest beauty, heavenly and earthly, wondrously Jesus is made to be. None can be nearer, fairer or dearer than thou, my Savior, art to me. Beautiful Savior, Lord of the nations, Son of God and Man of Man, glory and honor, praise, adoration, be now and forevermore. Be thine.